Good evening and welcome back, National Hunt fans, to In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. And hello to everyone who probably skipped the summer. I know some of you out there don't even bother watching when it's the flat, but you'll be back as the rain descends, finally, after 6 months of praying for it. And we've got two days, haven't we? We've already had a day at Cheltenham. And hopefully, toes crossed, everything else crossed as well, we might get a Saturday and Sunday as well, because the cards are fantastic, but the forecast is, well, another F word, let's be honest. So, let's hope we get to see the big races, including a couple of nice 2 milers in the Arkle trial. Of course, the Paddy Power Gold Cup, a classic 2.5 mile handicap chase round at Cheltenham as well. A couple of nice handicap hurdles, potentially a few who might catapult themselves into a chaotic stayers hurdle division. And of course, we've got some old friends coming back over in Ireland as well, and potentially some new superstars. Kopec de Bor going over bigger obstacles. Marie National back with his seasonal reappearance, and one of the best races of the season, bar none, in the shape of the Great Wood on Sunday. It never fails. It might not necessarily be the springboard to future champion hurdle glory like it might have been a good 15, 20, 25 years ago, but it's never dull in that race, that's for sure. It was certainly a bit dull in the last race today at Cheltenham, wasn't it? In the sense that you couldn't see what the hell was going on. But we had some exciting races, and we had another blow struck for Dan Skelton as he tries to get the cash in the bag before Willie Mullins comes over and tries to spoil the party in the spring. But if it ain't trained by Skelton at the moment, then it's almost destined to get beaten on the running, that's for sure. What did you like about day one of the November meeting? And have you packed your cagoule for day two? Hello to everyone on the chat. Some of you, like I said, will have been with us throughout the summer, but I'm sure some of you have returned. So hello to those returnees and to those who've kept the faith throughout the level. To Mark Edmondson, Tom Leach, to Johnny Kerr, and to Romping Home, to Paul Tolliver, to Bradley, to Robert Curtis and everyone else. And Johnny Kerr says, seems to be award season, and looking forward to Keels collecting the holiday content of the year award. Absolute shoo-in. Well, with that lovely tee up, Johnny Kerr, let's say hello to Mr. Paul Keeley. I haven't seen you for weeks, mate.
No, I know. I need to do more of these, don't we?
We
come in the office very often.
And it's you've not changed.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I'm slowly getting older, but it is a slow process.
It's a slow process. We're gonna pickle you, see if we can preserve you.
I'm not sure there's much preserving for me, I'm afraid, but there we go.
The National Hunt season is finally back.
It's finally on the way, yeah. I mean, hopefully it won't be brought to a brief close.
Yeah, exactly.
After this rain, they've had an absolute ton of rain today, and they've had a considerable amount since racing as well. I've got the Cheltenham Racing Post site up. It said 21.8 mils at 4 o'clock. It now says 32.6 in the last 24 hours. So there you go. They've had another lot. It's going to go on till just gone midnight, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But then, best part of 10 hours. I mean, it is renowned as the fastest draining course in the country. It better live up to its rep, isn't it?
And, of course, I mean, it's never heavy at Cheltenham, as you well know. That's that wound still has.
Absolutely, yeah, it's never heavy. If they call it heavy tomorrow, I'll be absolutely... No, we won't start that one.
It doesn't happen. It genuinely doesn't happen, even if it is heavy. So, look, is the danger more tomorrow about the winds? Is there a potential for it just battering the course into submission, or is it the ground that we're worried about?
I think it's the ground, isn't it? I think actually, the wind is set to die right down, isn't it, by the time of racing? Just right. Gentle.
Yeah,
by comparison to how it has been, yeah. I think it's just the rain.
Right, fair enough. Well, let's hope we do get the go ahead, Mr. Tommy Siegel. Good evening to you, sir. It's been a while. What have you been up to since the end of the flat season?
Painting the house.
Yeah.
Walking the dog. Tipping a few horses. You know, just getting on with life.
Yeah, yeah. Just you know, the more things change, the more things stay the same, eh, Tom? What did you make of today at Cheltenham? Good to have it back.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Made a few quid. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, both you and Keel seem to have been knocking in winners today. What was your highlight?
Obviously, Loda Sud was the highlight for me. But also, the last winner was pretty good for me too. So, Yeah, nearly got the treble up. Nearly got the treble up because when Sean Bowen was shoveling on the coal, as they like to say, on Wade out, I did think that James Owens, novice chaser, was going to win too. So, but luckily that was the first. If that had been the last of the treble, I wouldn't have been here. I'd have been the laptop would have been smashed by then.
If it's any consolation, Tom, that was the only one of the three that I backed. I thought he had a cracking chance, and I thought all the way around, I thought this is absolutely perfect. It is setting up for him like a dream. And then it's that classic thing, you know, Sean Bowen's still shoveling. Sean Bowen hasn't given up. Sean Bowen's getting a tune, and you're like, sod off Sean Bowen, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Fall off, man.
He never does, though, does he? He's immaculate.
Very, very good.
But yes, Skelton, Dan Skelton, Sean Bowen, obviously the cream is very much rising to the top.
Well, we are, it's Dan Skelton's world and we just live in it, don't we, these days. He's completely different class to everyone else, in my opinion, at the moment. They just have a plan for every horse. And, you know, I don't know, I think they're brilliant. I think it's an absolutely tremendous operation they run.
Yeah.
And, you know, more power to them. Power to them. You know, we've got a Paddy Power. I mean, we don't want to be too negative. We've got a Paddy Power Gold Cup tomorrow. That is the worst in living memory. It's got a 145 top weight, which I can never remember. It's nearly almost 160. Mm-hmm. The bottom weight is 1-2. I can't remember a horse of 127 even getting in the race for 12, 10 years, whatever. I had a look through today. And they're running the show. Well, they're running the show. I mean, there's opportunities for everyone at the moment, because there aren't that many good horses to go around, and they are the ones who are taking advantage, and more power to them.
No,
because I think there's loads of people that could do it, but just don't try as hard.
Well, you know, this is the thing. I mean, Keels, I was saying to the producers off air, there's we've got a big read with Nicky Henderson on Sunday. There's been plenty of chat about Paul Nicholls over the past few weeks, but I feel a bit like talking about Hendo and Nicholls is talking about Ronaldo and Messi. I feel a bit like, you know, is that the previous generation?
It's a changing of the guard, isn't it? I mean, it happens all the time. It'll happen to Willie Mullins one day.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It just does. And as Tom said, he is head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, I know Tom tipped load aside. I thought it was an absolutely shocking price. And I know, you know, but he's just turned him into, well, he looked like a superstar today. We can obviously say that, you know, John Bond's lost his form or whatever and was nowhere near good enough. But that, you know, when I was looking at it, I thought to myself, I've done a load of such novice wins worked out, and then he got found out, and then he's come out and done that. I mean, he'd won from two fences, in my view. He just looked so happy with himself. And so, you know, I mean, we can do that to those horses, and he's winning races with, you know, Thistle Ask, who was, you know, rated 115 when he joined with him. He won a race worth 11 grand and then got sold for 11 grand.
Yeah.
And went to Dan Skelton and has won God knows how much already within, you know, a space of a few weeks. Like, you know what I mean? So he's obviously, whatever he's doing it exceptionally, exceptionally well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's on target for the same sort of money at least as last year. I think he's, you know, he's about 100 grand short of what he had after the Paddy Power meeting last season. You know, Willie Mullins is going to need to win the Grand National again to beat him. And perhaps Skelton will have even more money in the sack by then.
Well, he might, because things like, you know, if the Betfair Chase goes the other way than it did last year, for example, mm-hmm. then suddenly that, you know, he only needs to improve on a handful of results last year by one place, and suddenly he's well ahead.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And again, Willie Mullins did have the first, third and fifth or something in the National last year.
We are going to spend the entire summer talking about Lalamba, Gino, and Constitution
summer.
Hill.
Summer?
Summer, did I say summer? Sorry, summer. I meant winter.
We've done that in the summer anyway, haven't we?
I mean, some people still do that, to be fair, yeah.
But, oh, my God, don't bore me to tears with all that, please. I mean, look, you know, Constitution Hill, for one. Like, you know what I mean? How many times are you going to say, well, if he comes back to his best, he's going to be brilliant. And if he doesn't, he isn't. And who knows? I mean, how many more times can you say that? He looked like a complete dog at Punchestown, didn't he? He'd gone again, didn't want to jump off. Like, you know, so who knows? Let's wait 2 weeks for him to find, to see.
Yeah, but
let's wait for Sir Gino. I mean, he nearly died, didn't he? You know what I mean? And people are talking about, oh, he's a certainty for the champion chase. I mean, Christ, you're all mad.
It's a funny, because I do feel like the jumps game is basically people, I love the jump season because all the same horses come back and we get to see them time and time again, And then you've also had to say, the job season, it's the same horses the same, coming back.
It's the same horses coming back for a racecourse gallop time and time again.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what I mean? So, you know, let's see them on the track and let's stop talking about them until they're actually, you know, until the day before they're turning up.
Okay, fair enough. Right, should we get stuck into Saturday then, Tom?
Yeah, it's much more like it.
Yeah, all right, lovely stuff. Let's do that then. Hello to everyone. Like I said, get in touch on the chat. We are live and interactive. Alan at Lowater says, get on with it. And that's it's a great point, Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Well with you there.
I am ready. I'm raring to go. But look, I haven't seen these lads for a few weeks, so we're a bit rusty, put it that way. Right, let's go to Cheltenham for the 145 then, the Arkle Challenge Trophy Trial. Grade 2 here with July Flower at the top of the betting at 5-4. Be Aware 2-1. Stencil 7-1. Burdett Road 8-1. Brentford Hope 16-1. Breaking Cover at 25-1. And a few seasons ago, Henry de Bromhead won this race with a talented mare in the shape of Put the Kettle On. She couldn't hold a candle to July Flower's form keels. And she's a 5-4 shot, July Flower, after sluicing up in shocking ground last time out over at Limerick. It was a bit of a crawl, mind, and she is up against a skeleton runner in the shape of Be Aware. There's been a bit of money for Stencil, and I still don't quite. Everyone seems to have written off Burdett Road like he can't jump and he hates the conditions, but we don't know those two factors at all.
We don't know, do we? I mean, everyone said, Muho, I can't have a chase, so he's only had four to go at it, and two of them are dual winners. One of them, Pagan, jumps like an absolute stag.
Well, he's had another one today, and it bolted up.
All right, there you go.
So he's actually had three chases.
I mean, you know, he was supposed to be a Cyrus Sprinter, wasn't he? But he had, you know, he's a complete freak of a stallion, really, isn't he? So why can't he?
He reminds me a bit. Jeremy was a similar type, wasn't he? He started having loads of great
absolutely,
jumps as well.
But
so this is we've got a 5-4 shot here, but we do have four genuinely talented horses.
Yeah, I think July Flower's reputation is far in advance of her achievements myself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there was loads of people talking about she's a grade one mare last year, she's the one that challenged Lossy Mouth and all that in the run up to the festival last year. Well, she didn't. She got well thumped both times in grade ones. And yes, she won okay. But, you know, I mean, she was perfectly entitled to win that race. That was 2 mile 3.5 furlong. This is a horse that's been second in the French Champion Hurdle over 3 mile 1.5 furlong, dropping down to 2 miles. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's not an awful lot in her form that says she's a 2-miler. And no, it's fast ground and whatever, but if they go a crawl and then try to quicken, is she going to be fast enough?
Well, I mean, it depends. If it's the conditions are as shocking as they could be, will it actually play into her hands? And I would argue you could say the same comments. Put the Kettle On, I think people were saying, well, you know, she's better over 2.5, isn't she, when she won this? So Eldorado Allen won this.
It's possibly Eldorado was a 2-miler back then. Eldorado Allen, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, but I just think she's very short on what she's actually done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, Be Aware looked, you know, again, representing the skeletons looked very good.
Yeah.
When he won the other day, maybe I'm still not convinced he's 100% straightforward, to be honest. But I mean, he's got some cracking form around Cheltenham, even non-winning form.
He's also potentially 2.5 miler.
Yeah, potentially, it could well be. And then we've got Burdett Road, who, if he jumps, I mean, if he goes out in front and he can jump, you know what I mean, he's race fit.
Yeah.
Then, you know, why can't he run? I mean, he's a big price, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is, because I mean, he's dotted up in soft ground. I mean, they pulled him out on soft ground because it was unsuitable ground, but he's also dotted up here on soft ground.
Yeah,
he
absolutely gagged up that day, didn't he? I mean, it was probably a bad try-up trial when he won, but even so, he did absolutely hack up, didn't he? So, yeah, I mean, you know, we don't know yet. They might pull him out anyway.
Yeah.
Because of the ground, but I wouldn't say he can't handle it. I think he's certainly a better horse than Stencil, for all that he's quite promising.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, if I was going to have a bet, and let's face it, Tom's going to say, yes, you are, Kiel, so I might as well say, yes, I am. I'll have a tenner on Burdett Road.
Fair enough.
Tom said, if I'm going to have a bet, then.
Look, it's you know, until the money's down, everything's a possibility.
I haven't had one yet, to put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it is interesting race. I mean, again, in a normal year, horse who finished second in the Champion Hurdle, making his chasing debut back at Cheltenham at 8-1 would be madness, Tom. But yeah, it's an intriguing little contest. What do you make of July Flower and her price?
Well, first thing to say is, not sure finishing second in that champion hurdle yes. was anything to write home about. I think all of these would have finished second in that champion hurdle, probably. I don't know. I'm much less distance focused than you guys, clearly. I'm not worried whether it's 2 miles, 2.5, 3. I think good horses win over jumps, whatever the trip, myself. I think July Flower is probably the best horse, but I've got a bone my to pick with her is that every time she comes to England or Britain, she tends to run. Now, I know she ran okay in the Cheltenham race, the mare's race at Cheltenham, but it wasn't her best form. And then she ran twice at Aintree. I remember backing her one day in a race over there, and she was really well fancied or whatever, having come over from France, and she was hopeless. So I don't know. I don't want to back her at 5-4 with her record in Britain myself. She looks like a bit of a home bird to me. So I don't know. I wouldn't be on her. I think BMOA might win myself. I'm just stating the obvious. I'm not convinced he's a brilliant horse by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he might be just perfectly set up for this. He won the same race that Lotus Hood did before coming on to win this. He was a bit of a disappointment in the Coral Cup last year, because I know they thought that he had a massive chance. And he didn't run, watching the race back this afternoon, he didn't run anywhere near as badly as I thought he did at the time. I think we were all expecting him to run better than he did. But he ran okay. He wasn't completely disgraced. Maybe that trip's too far for him. He jumped perfectly well at Stratford. I just think the stars are aligned for him. Myself, I don't know the stencil thing really. I mean, I don't really want to be backing horses first time out in this sort of ground anyway, really, I don't think. So he's off the list. Burdett Road just has, I don't know. He's a very good horse when things are going right. I prefer him on better ground myself. Hmm. And so I think Be Aware might just win.
Yeah, Be Aware 2-1. He's only £2 inferior to Lotus Hood when, I said, when he won that Stratford race. And again, the Skeltons are, you know, these days, Tom, those handicappers, he was only a handicapper last year, but you have to be a grade one or two horse to win those handicaps these days anyway. So it doesn't really make that much sense. And yeah.
I mean, Ethical Diamond couldn't win them.
Exactly. So, 2-1, Be Aware. And he's got Rates Fitness on his side. And the Skelton horses were all needing their run, Tom. And he absolutely dotted up.
Yeah, and they've got... And they will have... That will have been sort of a get it ready. I presume the plan's going to be the Lotus Hood plan. I don't think he's as good as Lotus Hood by any stretch of the imagination. But I guess that's the way they're going to go with him. Probably come back here next time. And he jumped well. We know what we're going to get, don't we? That's what I'd say about Be Aware. We know what we're going to get. We don't know what we're going to get from Stencil Burdett Road. The price has obviously come into it, but I don't know. At this stage of the season, I wouldn't want to be back in. I mean, I'd prefer to take the 2-1 than the 7s or the 8s about horses that I just don't know anything about.
Yeah, fair enough. The one thing I would say about your point about July Flower is, though, she... Yeah, I do know what you mean. The Aintree run, she was ridden by Felix de Giles. She's come over from France. It was her first run over from France. I know she disappointed at Cheltenham a little bit, but that was on good to soft ground. She clearly likes soft ground. And Dara O'Keefe as well, I think he's clearly made a bit of a difference, because he is riding out of his skin. He said, you know, it might be a bit of a big job to take over from Rachel Blackmore. And it's taken him about 3 weeks to put that worry to bed, hasn't it? So, yeah. Yarder in form, jockey's riding full of confidence. But 10-1 bird road for you though, Keels.
It's the least interesting betting race as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, for you forced me into a bet, which obviously I don't need forcing. I will.
I'm not forcing you into a bet. I'm just saying, what's your Burdett Road? What will be top of the tree? Yeah, fair enough. As for those on the chat, what else have we got? If Burdett Road jumps 8-1 is huge. And good morning from Brisbane, says Viper. And then Dan Croker says, watching the show from Columbia, 35 degrees in a Cheltenham preview show. It's perfect. So thanks ever so much, guys. I hope you're having a wonderful time.
as we drown.
As we drown in Storm Claudia, is it?
Yeah.
Like that. So, guys, you have a great time, won't you?
Not jealous at all, are we, Ross?
No, absolutely not. If it looks green on the screen, it's the lighting. It's not envy. Right, feature of Saturday afternoon, then the Paddy Power Gold Cup is on the agenda next. And Vincenzo is clear favourite now at 9-2. 5-1, Il Ridotto. 11-2, Panic Attack. The Company Sergeant, 8-1. Coming Up Easy, 8-1. Ho Jolly Smoke is 8-1. Hunter Legend, 9. Conyers Hill is 12s. And Bigger the Rest, and obviously a significant absentee in the shape of Antipost favourite Jaguar. Who would have been very, very interesting indeed. But again, every 3 weeks he's got another chance to come back for another similar race. He might well be back for the December Gold Cup, Tom, potentially, which leaves Vincenzo at the top of the betting. And what a completely different profile of horses we've got at the top of the betting now, because Vincenzo, off the back of a break for a yard, who are in insane form with their horses coming back on their seasonal reappearances. You've got the old boy Il Ridotto, you've got Panic Attack, who's again been around the block quite a few times, and then you've got a whole host of Irish Raiders, which would be poignant winners given that this year is running the memory of Edward O'Grady, who won this with Tranquil Sea a few years ago, and I think Tranquil Sea might have been the last time I backed the winner of this. So yeah, fair play to the Irish for coming over and having a strong challenge.
Also, they should 20 grand for the winner, isn't it? I mean, you only get 84 for winning the plate at the Cheltenham Festival, so I mean, this is a big race. It's a rubbish field, though, isn't it? I mean, Vincenzo's the favourite. If you'd told anyone that 3 weeks ago, they would have laughed at you, I would imagine. But that's what we're left with because, you know, the top weight's 145 now, Jaguar's. I honestly thought Jaguar had a massive chance, but I just thought he was different class. I mean, I think this is a really moderate race, and I'm not actually convinced how many are even going to stay. I'm not sure Vincenzo's going to stay. The Company Sergeant's a weak finisher. Conyers Hill's a weak finisher. I don't know. I thought this was really hard. I went through it time and time again. It took about 5 hours. When I have a race that takes about 5 hours, I've got very little chance of finding the winner. So those who follow me in on Ho Jolly Smoke, don't be too confident, because I went round and round and round in circles with this.
Can I suggest that Tom, maybe there's got to be an earlier point where you realise it's going to take 5 hours and you can pull up stumps at two, maybe?
I should have pulled up stumps at two, but I do think that the big race of the day, it's my job to give a tip in it.
Yeah, fair.
You know, people don't open up the paper to find the winner of the intermediate novices hurdle. They want to know what's going to win the Paddy Power. So I do think you should always try and have a tip in the big race if you can. I thought it was really, really hard. I did. And in the end, I came down on just a horse that's had a run. A horse that's run at Cheltenham, a horse from a stable that is flying. And so I ended up on Ho Jolly Smoke just simply because I hope they go forward on him. Mm. If they go forward on him, I give him a big chance, because he's just the type of horse that could win a moderate running of the race like this. I found so many reasons not to fancy loads of others. Vincenzo, just 9-2, you know, long break, beaten at Newbury last time. Will he stay the trip?
His form's not great, is it?
No, it's not at all. Il Ridotto is £1 higher than last year. I thought he should be favourite. Mm. He was out the weights last year, and he's £1 higher, and he's 11 stone 8 this year. Do you know what I mean? So it's just a different game for him. Panic Attack's obviously got a good chance, and Harry Skelton chose him. But I wonder whether that was because it was always Panic Attack's plan to come here.
Yeah.
And when it was sort of sorting out, Ho Jolly Smoke was, he couldn't have done the weight on him. So I wonder whether it's that significant. It could be. And then you can make, I mean, I know Keels likes Hunter Legend, and I spent hours looking at Hunter Legend today thinking, this is just the type, this is such a bad race. This horse that's been plodding around Leicester and Bangor might actually be the one. He's related to some good horses. And then I just thought Hunter Legend or Ho Jolly Smoke, and they're about the same price. In fact, when I did it, Ho Jolly Smoke was a bigger price, so I just went that way. But I really, really think it's just going to be a race which depends on position and jumping. And the one thing I know about Ho Jolly Smoke is that he jumps. He's a very good jumper. So that went my way. I wouldn't be surprised if Panic Attack won. Ah, it's a hard race. Pass. Move on to Mr. Keeley.
Ho Jolly Smoke then, 8-1. But yeah, you're right. If given, the jockey bookings might have been, if they're expecting a stronger field, then Ho Jolly Smoke would have been, should be way down the weight, shouldn't he? So, shouldn't he? Yeah, because It's a panic attack, that's the mayor. But yeah, if Hunter Legend, of course, half brother to Sipage. And if he likes Cheltenham as much as Sipage does.
Yeah, well, yeah, he had a good record at Cheltenham, ran loads of big races there. Won his first big one there at the age of eight. Hunter Legend is eight.
Yeah.
Although, in fairness with Sipage, it was on New Year's Day, so it was almost a year earlier. But, you know, it is like Tom said, it's a bad race. But this is the way racing's going in Britain.
Yeah.
The Ultima had a horse rated 129 in it for the first time in God knows how long in March, when it was promptly won by it in my town. And I suppose you get these younger, these sort of unexposed horses that are improving quickly, get it in there with low weights, and they can be dangerous. And I think Hunter Legend might be. He's won three of his last four. The one time he got beat, he was never travelling from the off. And I think that was just a case of the race coming too soon. And next time he absolutely gagged up. He looked in a completely different league to his rivals then. He needed to be, because it was a class four race at Bangor. It wasn't a graded handicap chase at Cheltenham. So he's taken a huge, huge step up in class. But, you know, we're not back to me with 25s. I still think he's got a right chance in a field that, like Tom said, it's short on, I think it's short on proper realistic contenders.
Mm.
I mean, I know, you know, Tom says he wouldn't be surprised if Panic Attack won. But, you know, in any normal year, you wouldn't give a horse like Panic Attack a chance at all in a race like this. But,
no.
You know, I mean, with what Dan Skelton has been doing with all his other horses, it wouldn't surprise you at all. But she's a nine-year-old whose best form is all against mares. And, yeah, I mean, I just couldn't be interested in her. I was interested in Vincenzo outside of the price. Just because, I mean, Sam Torres is like five winners from his last seven runners and always seems to be in cracking form.
Oh, it's, I mean, his, and, let's have a look, his record... Yeah, last 2 months, they've run 13 horses, seven of them won, and I think, you know, for example, the fell in the Sefton, whose name completely escapes me, Our Power,
yeah.
A couple of them, the ones that have completed...
Yeah, I mean, five of his last six completers have won, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, he's just in outrageously good form. He's obviously a very good trainer, because it's not the first time we say it about him, that he's in outrageously good form. And the horse is young and improving. He does have a little bit to prove at the distance.
Yeah.
Because obviously he looked like he was going to win that race, that Greatwood last time, and the horse came from miles behind to grab him.
And this is going to be more of a test, isn't it?
Yeah. And obviously, a month ago or so ago, I was saying that I thought Il Redotto was easily the best handicapped horse in the race. But he was 12s then. And, you know, he's the sort of horse I'd rather back at 12s. And, you know, he does run really well at Cheltenham, but he's still only 2 from 15 at Cheltenham, and he has only won three chases in his life, and he's never won a race carrying more than 11 stone, which he is here. So he does have his question marks. But I think they all do, and that's why I ended up coming down on the side of Hunter Legend. I think there's lots of here that I couldn't fancy at all at any price, including Bad, who is bad unless he's running at Kempton, basically.
Yeah. Although the only tick in his box is a yard form again, because Ben Pauling's horses are
also... Yes, his horses are in cracking form, but, you know, I can't have him at all. Coming up easy for Henry de Bromhead, he's on record in the stable for tours saying he doesn't want winter ground. Now, I know he has one on heavy, but it was a maiden hurdle.
Yeah, badly named as well, I imagine, if that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The others just don't excite me at all. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's a weak race, and I don't think it's a particularly deep one.
No. No, I don't think it is. The one, I'm going to, again, pick you up on something, Tom, that I slightly disagree with, and that's Conyers Hill, who... My worry for Conyers Hill isn't that he's a weak finisher, is that he'll be buried out the back, and you know, I don't want to see that over 2.5 miles at Cheltenham. But
I backed him a few times, Ross. I backed him at Punchestown last year, and I was disappointed in his finishing effort. I backed him at Fairy House as well, and both times I thought he was going to win, and didn't. Now, last time at Limerick, I agree with you, was a little bit better, but it was still, you know, I'm not convinced by him finishing the race. He ran fine in the Grand Annual.
Well,
didn't
I thought. I mean, let's be honest. I thought he ran a blinder because the first four kicked on. He went past more horses than finished in front of him. Put it that way. He rattled home from sixth, and they haven't tried him that much over this trip. Partly because, like you, maybe they thought, oh, he doesn't finish as well. But then last time out, he ran into a horse who's an absolute Limerick specialist, and he was stalked out the back, and I thought he went a bit too soon. And then as they jumped the last, I thought, oh, he's going to empty again. He's going to completely run out of gas here. And then he was closing the gap again after he jumped, and I just thought, you know what? Maybe he's not had many opportunities over 2.5 miles on soft ground. His record on soft ground is very, very good in handicap chases, and so I just, he was the one who, for me, I've still got quite these conditions that I still don't know. He might be good enough to win this, and he's got Cheltenham form after that Grand Annual run.
Yeah, he was. He was one of the ones that I spent an hour on Conyers Hill because I thought he was quite interesting. I've followed him all my life, but when you got a history with a horse,
all your life, quite hard. He's only seven.
Do you know what I mean? But it's quite hard to get it out of your head. When I backed him at Punchdown and Fairy House. Now, they were good handicaps. Don't get me wrong. They were proper, high-class, two-mile handicap hurdles. Much better than this.
Yeah.
Much harder to win than this. Against much better horses than this. But it just left me with the impression that he was going to empty. Now, I could be completely wrong. He might do it all on the bridle. He could easily do it all on the bridle. Yeah. He's got a lot of ability. But I'd be cross if I backed him and then he didn't do what I thought he was going to do. You know what I mean? He's one of those.
But it's fair. Whereas I'm the opposite. He's not been on my radar at all. And then the last four, basically, since he went over fences, he had three runs to qualify for a mark, and then they won his novice. So his last four has finished first, sixth in the Grand Annual running on, second at Fairy House in a valuable race, and then second to a course specialist last time out on his first try over this trip. So actually, his last four runs, if you're joining the party late like I am, I'm thinking, oh, there might be a bit more to come, but you've had enough, basically.
At the moment I have. I have had enough. You're right.
yeah, fair enough. as for those on the chat, the company Sergeant, Keep It Simple, Lancer, Sky Blue, Rods, and a few people thinking their anti-post bet on Il Redotto is going to go down the drain with the weather. And someone on the chat says the rapture is imminent, so don't get left behind and trust the gospel. So I think what he means by that is like and subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel. So thanks ever so much. Paddy Power Gold Cup pick?
Hans a legend for me.
All right. I'll go Conyers Hill and Tom.
Ho Jones Smoke for me.
Okay, thank you very much. Next race at Cheltenham is a 3-mile handicap hurdle, and you thought it was a top-heavy weak field in the previous race, Tom. Well, can't wait to hear what you think of this. Supreme US 6-4, Kiki Joe is 7-2, Long Draw 5-1, Gal Road 7s, 12-1 Patriotic, and London Office Calling in 16's Bar. And because of the presence of Gal Road, quite a few horses who maybe ran in the first race at Cheltenham today and were entered into this have decided not to go because they didn't want to be out of the weight. So it's very much two races for the price of one, Keels, unless you're going to tell me otherwise. But as far as I can see, if anything outside the first four in the betting win this, I'd be very surprised.
Well, to me, if anything outside the favourite Kiki Jared Gal Road win, I'd be surprised. I can't see Long Draw on any ground. He's a proper good ground horse, I think. So I'd rule them out. And I think he's going to be one of the others. Supremely West is the obvious one. I mean, he ran really well in that attempt to qualify last month. I mean, if the plan isn't to keep the same mark to run in that final in March, then he's got a right chance, and he's got loads of form on bad ground, doesn't he? So he's going to be a player. But I have backed Kiki Joe at the bottom. I thought he ran really well last time up to 3 mile at Aintree on his return. He's very, very lightly raced. He actually won a chase at Newbury in February. I mean, now he's back over hurdles. He was fourth to Ernest Grey at Aintree, and he looked like being swamped at the second last, and he just kept plugging on and plugging on. He likes bad ground. He looks like he's going to stay forever. Yep. The third in that race was quite close to Haiti Colours and another Potemps qualifier at Newbury. So it's not a bad, it wasn't a bad run at all. And he is getting a chunk of weight from Supremely West, so I thought that would be the one for me. And Gal Road, I mean, God knows what happened to him last time, but all the Nigel and Willie Twist and Davis horses ran really badly at the October meeting, and their runners were running really well before it, and they've run really well after it, but not there. So, and he normally does, and the ground holds no fears for him. So if these two aren't well handicapped, then Gal Road will be on the premises, but I'm sure one of them will be.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird, the Twist and Davis horses at that meeting, because like you said, they've suddenly sprang right back into form. They've had a couple of nice novice hurdlers win this week. And Gal Road's record, 3 miles on soft ground, is third, second, first, second and fourth, if not including races at the festival. And the only race at the festival was when he was sixth in the Potemps off a really big weight. So, like you said, he's almost a play spot banker kind of horse, isn't he, Gal Road, I think, in those conditions tomorrow. And he's both a light horses, Tom, that are both head bets and heart bets. And I feel like Gal Road is often at Cheltenham in these conditions, both of those.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to forgive last time, haven't you? I know Kiel's made a good reason for why they ran last time. I'm a nasty man, Ross. Don't forgive people anything. And, you know, I don't like backing horses that ran as badly as that. I just don't. It's just not my modus operandi. That's one of my failings as a punter. I'm not forgiving enough by any stretch of the imagination. So he's not. I mean, I'm with Kiel's on Kiki Joe. I just think getting all that weight. I think the thing about Kiki Joe, his whole family are massive plodding stayers. And that's exactly what you're going to need tomorrow. I think he's unexposed. I think he'll love the ground. I just think he's going to plod on, and it might, just getting all that weight, I think he's got more scope for movement in his handicap mark than Supremely West, who's obviously got a good chance as well. Not, I mean, Patriotic is a horse I've got a bit of time for, but I, you know, watching him back, I wonder whether he's actually better with a bit of better ground. So he's off, and London Office Calling actually wins a lot of races since he's moved to Gavin Cromwell. I think he's won 5 out of his 10 runs for Gavin Cromwell, something like that. But he's another one that ran so badly the last twice. They were on the flat, and one of them was in a very valuable handicap hurdle last time, which was won by Blake, I think. I could see him running better. But 3 miles heavy ground, not convinced. So I'm with Kiel's, really. I think one of the top two will probably win, and I think it will be Kiki Joe.
Kiki Joe then 7-2. Also worth noting that Gavin Cromwell, apart from only by night, can't buy a winner. Tom, I mean, is again, I guess as a yard, you know, we talk about the skeletons in terms of when to get your horses ready and raring, when to strike. I feel like if you're an Irish trainer, now is not the time to have your horses bang on form, is it?
Does well at this sort of meeting, though, doesn't he, Ross? I mean, at the start of Cheltenham, he's had loads of winners over the years, hasn't he? Especially probably the previous meeting, maybe more than this one.
Yeah, but he's run 52 horses in the past 2 weeks, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's only had 9 horses place. So it reeks of a yard who are going to come to life in December, not now.
Yeah, just why bring them over? That's the only thing I'd say, you know. I mean, I suppose maybe connection, maybe it's been the plan all along. Maybe the horse is just out of form at the wrong time when they're coming over. I mean, I wouldn't read too much into that. But I agree with you, his horses aren't running. He did have a horse run very well today or yesterday at 25-1 that was second in a maiden hurdle, but... I wouldn't advocate backing London Office Calling. I do think he's a horse to keep an eye on for the future. I just think under these conditions, one of the top two in the market will win it.
Yeah, fair enough. And is the only reason we're going against Supremely West because the price has absolutely collapsed? Because he everything is in his favour, isn't it? Second time Windops, Skeletons on fire in a handicap hurdle. The ground is perfect. Everything is in his favour.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, he's 6-4. And Kiki Joe was 5 or 6-1 not that long ago, and that was the reason.
Okay, fair enough. As for those in the chat, Si Tyson says he's in agreement with Paul and Tom in regards to Kiki Joe being a very solid bet, and Viper says, Tom, have a heart. Surely, I mean, you must have left so many old friends by the wayside, Tom, as they've... Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about your birthday, Tom. That's it? No? That's it. You get one chance with me, mate.
If you forget my birthday, Ross, you are out.
Well, luckily for you, it's impossible to forget what you don't know. So, there you go. Right, lovely stuff. Let's crack on then to the 3:30, 2 mile, 5 furlongs, the distance for the intermediate handicap hurdle. And this is a bit of a cracker, isn't it? We could have some very nice types at the top of the weights and at the top of the betting in the shape of Drancon 3-1, Royal Infantry 4-1, Friendship 5-1, Last Rodeo 8s, Holloway Queen 8s, Catboy 9s, Say de Front is 11-1, and Hamsian 16, who won this last year for Tony Martin, who's won this a couple of times in the past few years, albeit this looks a tougher race than the race that Hamsian won last year, which is in complete contrast to what we've said about the rest of the card. But yeah, Drancon has Grand Cru vibes, who of course won this before finishing second in the Stayers Hurdle behind Big Bucks. Royal Infantry ran a blinder, given that the Skeleton Hurdlers had needed their first run. And Friendship was going really well in that Chepstow race and then bolted up at this track next time out. And one of you two has definitely tipped Last Rodeo, surely, because this horse was 25-1 yesterday. So who's owning up?
Not me.
Tom?
No. All right. No, I was going to tip it, but then all of a sudden this afternoon it went from 25-1 into 8-1, Ross. Whose money could that have been?
Well, are the Christian Williams team shrewd?
I was going to give him a mention because Christian Williams horses don't tend to win maiden hurdles. And he managed to win one well backed last year. So the chances are he's probably a little bit above average for them. And he did get hampered at Cheltenham last time and he did stay on quite strongly. And obviously he's done his winning on bad ground. And Harry Cobden has been booked. There's plenty to like about him.
Yeah.
And he's got a low weight. If the ones at the top of the market and the weight don't come up to scratch, there are a couple further down the bottom that are interesting. He's one of them. The one I went for was Cap Boy. For Ollie Murphy. Now he's not had many runs over hurdles, and he was sort of a little bit disappointed for Paul Nicholls after winning a bumper at Chepstow, the same bumper that he'd won with the likes of Nappers Hill and I can't remember how McFabulous, I think. Like, you know, I mean, they thought a bit of him, I think, at the time. But he was a bit disappointing. But then he moved to Ollie Murphy, and he gagged up at Perth last time. Now it wasn't a very good race, but. He put 7 lengths between him and the runner-up from the last. There's only a short run in there. And he did it very, very easily. Now, the runner-up was only rated 87, but did bolt up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's reasonable form for the level, but I just thought he's a one, you know, he's going to stay really strong. He's got no issues with the ground whatsoever. He's got a champion jockey on board, and I just thought he's a big enough price. For a horse that was reasonably well thought of once, but called a big baby by Nicholls, and might just be starting to blossom now.
Yeah, and to be fair, it had the feeling of a we need to win it like that to get into a race like this kind of performance, didn't it?
Well, a little bit. They made sure he put some distance between them because he got there cruising at the last, didn't he? Between the last two.
Yeah.
And you just thought, well, he's just going to win as he likes, but he actually made him win by a few.
Okay. Catboy then 9-1 shot here. You keep banging on about the skeletons, Tom. And I thought Royal Infantry ran a bit of a blinder. I mean, I think he's a bit of a future chaser, but he still looks a bit raw. I don't know. I liked his profile last year. I got the feeling they were still, you know, figuring him out a little bit. That Perth race has worked out really, really well. Loads of horses have come out of that Frank Knapp form. So he stays 3 miles. The skeletons hurdlers definitely needed their first run, and he looked a bit rusty down the home straight at Chepstow, but he stayed on really strongly. And I don't know. I mean, he is the best horse in this race. He's off top weight, and I don't think he's not far off being a graded performer if he wins this off this weight. And I think he could be. I quite like Royal Infantry.
Have you read my copy, Ross?
Oh,
have you read my copy?
Is that what you saw? Yeah. I'm sure you've not tipped Royal Infantry, but
that's exactly what I said. Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, he was 2024 Cheltenham bumper. He was the first home of the British horses. Proper good race that. Jasmine Devaux, Romeo Coolio, the Yellow Clay. I think he was 7th or 8th, first home of the British horses. Ran in a grade 1 last year over hurdles. He's a stayer that likes soft ground. And I think he's going to leave the Chepstow 4 miles behind here. I think this has been the plan for the skeletons. The problem I've got is it's a really, really good race. The race of the day for me. Because I think there's loads in here that of the potential to be good. Durenson, obviously. French Ship was good here the other day. I thought he won with loads in hand. Keels' his horse, Catboy. Say Diffron down the bottom won his last two. Hamsian should have won did he? I can't remember. A Chester Vase or whatever it was. Holloway Queen looked like she had something about her in last rodeo. I think this is a really, really good race.
Yeah.
When Royal Infantry drifted out to 6 or 13-2 earlier in the day, he was the one that caught my eye, just because I think he might have that little bit of an X factor about him.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've always held him in you know, as right up there as one of their best horses going forward. Whether he's disappointed them a bit, I don't know. But I think if he's ever going to get there, this will be it. I think everything's in his favour. Ground, I think the trip's perfect for him. I think he's going to be bang on for today, for tomorrow, even if it's on. So he was my one. But listen, this is a good race. This is a properly good race. which is worth watching five or six times over, because there's loads in there that are going to be winning some decent races going forward this season.
Yeah, I think I don't think they will have been disappointed. It feels like, you know, it's a bit, he's learning from Mullins, isn't he, Skelton? I feel like, you know, give the horse the experience when he's still a bit raw, when you haven't quite got to the bottom of him in listed races, in graded races, and then go and win your handicap, and then go and step. Don't mess around winning at 1-3 and then go straight into a handicap and then think we've got a graded horse on our hands. It feels like they've toughened him up a bit, and now this is his chance to prove himself. That's the impression that I got for Royal Infantry.
Well, that's very possible. He was very interesting, wasn't he, after Lotus said today, Dan Skelton. He said, I made a mistake, shouldn't have run him in the arc, shouldn't have run him at Warwick because we missed out on the Arkle because I'd run him and I'd run him too many times. And then he qualified, and then he went back on himself. He said, but the reason why it's stood him in good stead, that he's had all those runs.
Yeah.
Because it's got him better, it's got him battle hardened, it's got him into the rhythm of racing. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think that's what he does with his horses, and I think that's where you're going with Royal Infantry and what he's done with him. Is he's sort of, while he didn't think he could win those grade ones, what they've got into him is the ability to run in fast paces, in difficult races, to get, you know, down and dirty a bit. Mm. And I think you're right. I think today could be tomorrow could be the day where everything comes together for him. He's got a bit of weight on. He's got a bit on his plate, hasn't he? Giving all that weight away to some good horses. But I think there's something about him that makes me could be a graded horse.
Yeah. I get that feeling as well. But to be fair, Cat Boy is a similar type, but he's just a bit earlier in his.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's just one of those that could improve. I think he's a big chasing type, really, but I mean, I think he's, you know, I think the ground will really suit him as well.
Yeah, I'd say half the field are probably.
It's that sort of race, isn't it? Yeah.
But it looks a good one on paper. It looks a good one. Let's hope it happens tomorrow. Sight Eyes said, Tom the Right, the race is very good from top to bottom. Tom Leach says, this is the only betting race for me tomorrow, and he's with Royal Infantry as well. But Friendship is the danger. And Aidan Kelly's gone Royal Rambler Nap at 16-1, related to several soft ground winners, including a Dam who's a Grade 1 winner. So that's Emma Lavelle's charge Royal Rambler. Big ask on handicap debut off 245 days off the track, but he could be a nice horse going forward for the Beauport owners. Similar vibes to a certain extent.
Maybe Corby Air to us, Ross.
Yeah, fair.
Which was Corby Air to us oldies.
What year was that, Tom? And I'll tell you whether I was born or not.
Well, when did Corby Air win the National Keels? 1980 something?
I don't know.
1983.
Three.
Yeah,
I'm getting old now.
I wasn't alive. No.
We were well alive. We were back at that.
The next race we're going to have a look at is the Fortune Chase at Navan, which is an absolutely blinding lineup this year, as Marine National returns for his seasonal reappearance at 7-4, takes on the Mayadino Blue at 3-1. Captain Guinness bidding to surpass Moscow Flyer and join Big Zeb in winning this three times. Founder 50, who won this last year, is 5-1. Solness, who had such a good season last year, is 9-1 as well. Hercule Dussel is no back number. Was mopping up some good graded races in the autumn and ran really well at Aintree a couple of seasons ago. And Touch Me Not, 28-1, but does love to slog around in the mud. But yeah, this is just a really, really good lineup. I would argue this is possibly a better lineup than the actual Champion Chase at times, Giles.
You could argue that. I mean, you know, he's looked really, really good, Marine National, hasn't he? Last time he raced on soft ground, he was tailed off at odds on at the Dublin Racing Festival, but he has won on it.
Yep.
He's more of a spring horse and a spring ground horse generally, probably, I think. So, he's not an absolute certainty, I wouldn't have thought. It's a very good race, isn't it? Very, very good race. I couldn't understand why Founder 50 was tried at 3 mile last time. Now he's coming back to 2. But I quite like him, but I think Dino Blue might be the one. Archie might be the one to beat.
Yeah.
Getting £9. She just keeps winning, doesn't she? She's got no issues with the ground.
Yeah, no issues with the ground.
I don't think Solness wants it bottomless, does he?
No, quite the opposite, I would imagine.
Yeah, so, you know, I can't really see that. Hercule Desai. What do I know about Hercule Desai? Oh, no, he was the one that finished second to something in at Cheltenham. I can't even remember now. God, I'm getting old.
The thing I remember about Hercule Desai, he's not been shut out.
Oh, didn't he?
He ran it. He was fourth to founder 50 in the Aintree grade one once.
He ran in that novice chase, that chaotic novice chase at Aintree where everything bashed into each other and basically, was it founder 50 and Mr. Chewy went off in front and everything else got in a barroom brawl in behind. But he's a cracking jumper, but on better ground, I think, is the key.
He's got loads to find as well, really, isn't he? He's only 12 to 1. Yeah, Dino Blue for me.
Dino Blue at 3 to 1. Before I make a good case for one and steal your thunder, Tom, do you want to... Should we just check? I'm just going to check that you haven't tipped one in this.
No, it wasn't a prize fights race, Ross. You are free to go.
Well, look, Tom, there's seven runners here. Six of them are making their seasonal reappearance. And one of them will be fit as a flea, won the race last year, absolutely loves bottomless ground. The only two horses have beat Founder 50 in bad ground are I Am Maximus and Gaelic Warrior. And he was second both times. I mean, he's not a horse I ever thought I'd back or even nap necessarily. But I kept looking at this race tomorrow and thinking, there's one horse who's going to appreciate conditions and be fit for this race, and it's him. And I can't see anyone else who's going to necessarily enjoy themselves. Maybe Captain Guinness because he's got his conditions. But I don't know. He was favourite last time out over 3 miles, Founder 50, and then he's got the perfect race for him here, and he's fourth favourite.
Yeah, listen, this is one of those races where you could be right, that it's all about preparation rather than ability, because nearly all of these, bar your fella there, are going to have targets later in the season, aren't they? Mm. They're all sitting around. They don't want to bottom themselves in terrible ground to begin with, so they're not going to be bashing seven bells out of each other, bar maybe Founder 50. So I 100% get your raison d'etre for suggesting him. The only slight worry is they're going to go really hard, aren't they? You got Solness, you got Touch Me Not, you got Captain Guinness. They're not going to muck about, are they? If he can keep tabs and his jumping holds up, then I think you're right. He's got a good chance. I mean, Marine Nationale for me is the most underrated horse in training. I love him. I think he's an absolute superstar. I think he's the best 2 mile chaser by quite some way. But as you guys point out, it's heavy ground, first day of the season, first day back at school, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know whether I want to back him at 7 or 4. I mean, seeing horses beaten, seeing better horses, well, as good horses as him beaten, like, in these sort of circumstances. So, yeah, I get you Founder 50 thing. I think Touch Me Not might run a bit better than everyone thinks as well. Mm. He was second to Lotus Hood, wasn't he, in the Henry the Second, Henry the Seventh, something race at Standout.
Henry the Eighth, the big
Henry
lad.
The Eighth.
You remember him?
Big lad, lots of wives.
That's him.
That's the one. he's a good jumper when he gets out in a rhythm. He was a really good jumper. He actually took one home with him at Standout that day. But before that, he looked like I don't know. I just thought he might outrun his price, but. It's not a race I've looked too hard at, but I'd give the two Gordon Elliott ones a shot with you, Rob.
All right, fair enough. Lovely stuff. Right, quick look at the feature race at Weatherby tomorrow, the 0-140 handicap chase. I do believe, just wait for that to come up on the screen, there it is, where Serendipity is 100-30 favourite, Isam 4-1, Heltham 9-2, Primoz 6-1, Vintage Fist 15-2, and then bigger the rest. And top three in the betting again, all have leading claims, mainly because, again, 3 yards who are firing on all cylinders. Sue Smith and Joel Parkinson have just struck form. The Skeletons are on fire, and Tom Simmons can do no wrong at the moment, and had a wildly... The horse at Bangor that won the other day, who pretty much lapped his rivals, was the most impressive winner I've seen all week. So, good races, Keels. Any angles?
Yeah, good races. I mean, not real angle, but I like Isam. He was pretty consistent over hurdles. He won 5 of 17 there. He's won really well in his two chases, winning over 2-3 at Exeter, and then dropping back in trip and just failing to get back up to beat Excitations at Sandown. Love soft ground. I think he's 3 from 5 when it's soft. Just thought he was the one that stood out to me. I wouldn't say stood out as a massive bet, but he was the one I liked the most. I'll mention Primoz, who after Myertown won the ultimate, ended up getting back from 20s to 6s for the Grand Annual I was on. Lucinda Russ was on record as saying he's one of the most talented horses she's ever had to deal with, and he's doing his level best to prove her wrong. and he's got beat twice at short prices already this season. They've reached for the cheek pieces first time, but together and apart, Lucinda Russell and Michael Scudamore had no great record with cheek pieces.
Yeah, it was practically good to firm last time out, wasn't it? And he clearly is a soft ground horse, so he probably will run better, but there's a few sandwiches short of a picnic.
Absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolute lunatic.
I was trying to be diplomatic, but fair enough. Tom, any tip in the 3:43?
I wouldn't say it's a tip in as much, but I do think Jerryville can run well. Larb's Weatherby. I mean, if you go back to January, he beat the favourite, and he beat him hands down. He beat Serendipity. I think he's even better off at the weights this time. The reason is he didn't run so well on his comeback run, but that was probably a get-it-ready run. Brian Hughes is booked. I don't think the disparity in price should be that big between Serendipity and Jerryville. I do wonder whether Issam and Helsman might be a class above them because they are at the top of the weights and they've both got a bit of up. So Helsman seems to have been around for ages.
He's only eight.
He's only eight, and Dan Skelton, it's a decent pot, isn't it? You know, it's a 10 grand pot. I don't know, wouldn't rule it out. Fundamentally, I've always felt he wanted better ground, but it's not a great race. He's only running better races than this.
No. Fair enough. Right, okay. And before we have a quick look at the Greatwood, which of course you can't tip in on the show, Tom, but we can get your thoughts tomorrow from, when is it on members' court? What time does it come through? Is it 5 p.m., is it?
6.
6 p.m.? 6 p.m. So there you go. If you haven't already signed up to get Tom's selections for Sunday, then.
Well, I would say, Ross, I can give you an overview. I mean, I just worried about the ground for half of these. I mean, and Keels will know, but is Celtic Dino, is that even going to run?
Well, get to that. Before we get to that, the one thing I was going to ask is, you haven't put anything else up tomorrow, have you, by the way, in other races that we haven't made?
No, you've got all mine. I only had 4 races from Cheltenham.
Right, yeah, fair enough. I was just double checking. But yeah, it's, assuming that the Greatwood actually, goes ahead, there are a lot of good ground horses, aren't they, potentially lining up. Mirabad is the 5-1 favourite, and given that, it's no huge surprise to see that there's been money for both Castle Carrick and Serious Challenge. They've both pretty much halved in price, Keels, and I think that's almost certainly weather related.
Weather related. I mean, I backed Serious Challenge on Monday.
So it's Keels related as well.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Well, you never know. I thought he stood out on Monday, to be honest. He was a 20-1 shot there. I won't say I was expecting it to be second favourite or anything, but. But, for a 100-ish rated horse on the flats, to be running off 127 over hurdles, having won 3 of 6, including absolutely destroying Bowens on Fire last year on heavy ground by 9 lengths. In this race, he'd be £6 better off. And they were the same price on Monday. I mean, it just didn't make any sense at all. And I thought it just that. Run. I know he's only 4th of 6 to Ace of Spades at AG. I just thought that smacked of a prep. Yep. I mean, this is a horse that races prominently or from the front, who was held up, clearly wanted to go faster, wasn't allowed to, and no surprise he didn't find a great deal at the end, but that would have stripped him fitter for this. No issues with the ground, potentially a very, very nice handicap mark. So, yeah, I can understand why he shortened.
What else have we got? I mean, again, obviously Mirabad is the fly in the ointment for everyone, isn't he?
He is, yeah. I thought it was absolute theft the race he won here last year. They just let him go, didn't they? I'm not sure how good he is, but I mean, then he's another horse reappearing for Dan Skelton and having been with another trainer. I mean, he could be, it's not going to surprise you if he improves £15, did he? So, he did really well last year as well.
Yeah.
A lot of his form is on quicker ground. I know he has one on heavy ground on the flat, but a lot of his jumps form is on quicker ground.
Keels and Ross, can I pick your brains on a couple? I haven't done the race yet, as you well know, but obviously the more information you can get, the better. What about Iberico Lord and Knickerbocker Glory?
Well, Knickerbocker Glory's got a good first-time out record and loves bottomless ground, isn't it? I mean, it's one of... where did he win at Sandown last year? Won at Sandown last year, won at Ascot the year before. He's you know, he's nine, but he's consistent. And, you know, he runs his race when the ground is bad and he's fresh, doesn't he? Like, you know what I mean? So that, and the Berico Lord's obviously won it before, hasn't he? So, you know, he's got a chance if he's fit and well.
I think
he's probably a bit exposed now. I don't know.
Strike me as two horses that will love heavy ground.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Knickerbocker Glory especially absolutely loves it, doesn't he? Like, you know, and if the good ground horses run, it wouldn't be surprised if they supplanted them in the market anyway, would you? Because a lot of people are going to be against them.
The Betfair Hurdle at Iberico Lord were in bottomless ground, Tom. I mean, Lotusud was in second. You had Go Dante, Doddy the Great, Favoir, Knickerbocker Glory, Our Champ. I mean, the first seven home were, you know,
proper good horses, weren't they? I backed Iberico Lord to win the Champion Hurdle on the back of that, and it was the year where Nicky Henderson's horses ran appallingly, or most of them ran appallingly, and he was pulled up. But it was only 11-1 to win the Champion Hurdle.
Yeah,
you're getting 10-1. I mean, it's not that much higher in the weights now, is he?
No, true.
He's 5 pounds higher than when he won them. So I don't know. From afar, I was just looking and thinking they looked big prices compared to a load of those horses at the top that probably aren't going to like the ground.
Right, yeah. But anyway, as you're not allowed to give your selection, you're obviously putting people away because you won't be putting those two up, will you?
he's just you know, just adding some spice to the mix.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. This mirror bat's an absolute.
Look, yeah. I mean, a better colour if he bounces back, and of course, Knickerbocker Glory's a Sunday horse as well. So Tom, so he's got that in his favour. Not many races. I think this is the first time you've ever been able to make the joke about him actually running on the Sunday. The two that interested me. I mean, one's Castle Carrick, who was really. I mean, that Sandown race. He battered Diva Luna. It's weird that Sandown race has got a huge form boost this week. Battered Diva Luna, who won over fences. Fourth was Rip Wheeler, who bolted up over fences the other day. Unseated rider was Noble Park, who bolted up a Hereford the other day. It's a weird form boost, but. I thought he ran really well at Kelso when he was taken off his feet on a speed track, and off the back of that, they stepped him up to 2.5 at Aintree, and he did the opposite, and he was outclassed and pulled too hard. But similar to the Skelton horse we talked about earlier, Tom, I like the fact that he's done a lot very soon, and then he's had the summer off. And Alan King has a cracking record in this, and he will relish these. I mean, if he can bolt up over 2 miles at Sandown, it's off ground again. These conditions are going to be spot on for Castle Carrick.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I mean, I was a big fan of his last year. I also think, I mean, Keels will know this horse better than me. I think you backed it when he won at Sandown, Keels. Helmwind. I don't know if he'll love the ground as much. He's another Alan King horse.
Yeah, they're going to struggle to get him up the hill in front, though, aren't they? You know what I mean? Yeah. He's a bit of a thinker,
but he's a well-handicapped one. Uh-huh. And he's big, you know, I'm a bit like you. I don't like horses that run badly for no reason. But I know why he doesn't run badly, because he struggles to win. But he's the type of horse.
He wants burying in a big field, doesn't he? Basically, I mean, I've backed him loads of times when he's running big fields, and he does tend to run very well. But whether I'd expect him to be battling his way up that hill in that ground on Sunday, I wouldn't think so.
He's won three races all for Tom Cannon, and you get the feeling that. He's a horse that needs a bit of knowing, isn't he? He needs a bit of kidding and coaxing.
It still wouldn't bowl me over if No Ordinary Joe ran a big race.
No, come on.
I mean, he's now with Faye Bramley, who's obviously making a bit of an impact. Yeah. And she said she had a 28-1/3 at Aintree the other day, and the second in the November handicap at 33-1. And he's had a run, didn't run great, but 2.5 mile on good ground. And he wasn't actually beaten that far. And he has been placed in a pipe behind Iroko.
I mean, if Tom's unforgiving...
He's 40-1, isn't he? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's ability there, and she can clearly train. She obviously trains at Sir Anthony McCoy's stable. So.
Oh, yeah, there's absolute. But it's...
What about the one that keeps bouncing back, Ross? The rubber ball.
The rubber ball, yeah. I mean, he's a five-year-old. He's unexposed. We saw the...
Look away.
And the Skelton winner today. Again, that opening race today was dominated by unexposed five-year-olds.
Look away nearly won this, didn't he, for the same connection, second to Iberico Lord, actually.
Absolutely, yeah, a couple of seasons ago. And then a similar... Gibbs Island is the one who's similar profile to last year's winner, Burdett Road. Obviously, I mean, you know, I'm slightly biased because I do stuff for Rayshare, but he's absolutely dotted. He beat nothing at Chepstow, but he beat them like he was significantly better. And he's second in the weights here. I mean, he's off 140. Tom Lacey is another trainer who's,
I mean, actually a good trainer.
You give him a piece of coal and he makes it into a diamond, doesn't he? It's remarkable. And
yeah.
He handled soft ground on the flat, and he's got a similar profile to Burnett Road. He's really experienced from the flat, and he's 3 from 5 over hurdles, and his 2 defeats were in Grade 1 company. So he could be... I mean, Burnett Road won this, and obviously finished second in the world's worst champion hurdle.
And we haven't even mentioned Alexi or Laffey or all the other ones that I could possibly tip tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. So 6 o'clock, Tom Siegel will tip a horse that he definitely hasn't mentioned, possibly. But I personally will be on Gibbs Island and Castle Carrick. What about you, Mr. Keeley?
I've already backed Serious Challenge. I was toying with giving King William Rufus a chance on the ground because he was sixth in the Betfair Hurdle last year, and I thought he actually ran pretty well last time. But he's probably more of a quicker ground horse, so I haven't yet decided.
Fair enough. Right, naps of the day on Saturday, or you could nap on there in the Great Wood on Sunday if you like, because I'm feeling generous. Start with you, Mr. Paul Keeley.
I will go for, on Sunday, Serious Challenge.
Serious Challenge it is. There you go. Okay, Tom?
What a nice man he was there, leaving me with Kiki Joe. Thanks, Keels.
I thought that was my other option.
That's fine. I appreciate you, Tom, leaving me with Royal Infantry. So
see what I did there?
This is just because we're just...
Teamwork.
Oh, it really is. It does. It really does make the dream
another
work.
Roughly another £3 million at Cheltenham since we started recording.
So. Quid?
£3 million.
Mill.
It's going to be off, isn't it? We've done all this.
I'm so excited about this weekend's racing. It's going to be absolutely blinding.
It can't possibly be off, I'm sure. I'm sure he had that Wednesday at the festival. They must have had more than that day because it just hammered down all day and they still raced.
Yeah. Well, look, if it's 40 off...
£40 mil's quite a lot, Keels.
Yeah, it is. But look, if it's off, we will be back tomorrow morning to preview Jebel Ali. How's that sound? We'll do that instead. Nope. Right. Welcome back to the National Hunt Season. It's been lovely to see you all. Like, subscribe if you haven't done so already. See you next week.
That's about 40 minutes.